Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Well, welcome back to the DL Link Show. And Sky De Silva, absolutely amazing. And in fact, Bianca has just sent a message saying, I don't know how Sky has managed to keep her voice. In 1999, I survived the frame of the car I was passenger in stabbing into my brain, where speech is controlled from the brain to the mouth. except I had been exploited from the time I was in a medically induced coma in Glenwood Hospital. And Bianca just expressed how difficult it was, excuse me, and what a challenging time, loss of income, having to navigate. And she just said that, you know, just listening to Sky's story, it really resonated with Bianca and her story. Thank you, Bianca, for sharing that. And for all of you listening, who you all on your own journeys, we all are. That's what it is to be human and to live in this world and to live on this extraordinary planet, is to be challenged in many different ways. So when we witness a human being like Sky, who really is able to rise from the ashes, it is a reaffirmation that we too can rise from the ashes. So just before the break, I said we're going to be talking about SEX, and we are actually. I have Lisa Welsh, who is an accredited sex educator. She serves as the communications lead for My Sexual Health and the World Association for Sexual Health. And we're going to be looking at embracing sensuality through the five senses, because we know that certainly in Kyla's case here, I mean, Skylar, when just the pain, not being able to walk, not being able to talk, so just that kind of separation from body, then looking in the mirror, not recognizing herself, and how do you get back into the body? How do you feel? How do you awaken to those senses again? And we know with many illnesses, chronic illnesses, we know with cancers, we know what can happen to the body in treatment. And how does one pick up and return to a healthy sex life? So Lisa will be sharing some tips, certainly with feeling the sensuality through the five senses. Lisa, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Fabulous to have you on the show.
Hi, Nikki. Thank you so much for having me. What a fantastic conversation you just had. It's really kind of put me in such a great frame of mind for this, what we're about to chat about now.
Yeah, me too, Lisa. I also. So what an amazing person, and just so lovely to hear, yeah, how she's navigated that journey. Mm. So Lisa, I mean, as we said, I mean, you know, Skylar described that moment when, I mean, her face was completely unrecognizable. She looks in the mirror. She doesn't know who that person is staring back at her. And this idea of getting back into her body, and it's very much, you know, running and riding and achieving things, and how do you then go back into the body and allow yourself to feel pleasure? And what does pleasure even feel like when you've been exposed to so much pain and in this survival mode for so long? And then we think of so many of our listeners who are cancer warriors, or they're on different journeys with, you know, whatever their challenge is, and how do you come back to that. So I know that you wrote an article all about reclaiming sensuality, and it was specifically around breast cancer, but, you know, we're talking about cancer in general. So what actually inspired you to write this article, Lisa?
Good question. I mean, like you said, this feeling like a stranger in our own body is something that we actually find a lot of people experience, whether they are experiencing cancer, whether it's just because of body image issues, whatever it might be, that feeling of being disconnected is very real. And something particularly that breast cancer survivors feel is that they maybe are less of a woman, for example, or whatever particular cancer it is that you're experiencing. That journey itself just brings up so many different feelings. And something that's been reported is that kind of feeling like the body is a bit of a traitor, or feeling like the body isn't an ally, right? And so it can be difficult to actually be in your body while you're going through a medical journey, for example, or some kind of journey of acceptance. And so the idea behind this article was really to find some simple but not easy ways that we can anchor back in again and actually start to remember what the body is capable of and remember that there are pleasures that we can access even in really difficult times.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, besides, as you said, the physical things that you're going through, there's the mental part of that disconnect that happens. And so I can only imagine this anchoring back into the body and being able to feel and certainly being able to connect once again with pleasure when we talk about the five senses is actually an important part of the healing process, I can imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. And while I don't have a huge amount of experience directly with cancer, yes, it definitely can be a wonderful way to just reconnect, to kind of feel appreciative, to feel whole, to feel sensually connected. Because as you mentioned that we're going to be talking about SEX, but really that can mean so many different things. And we often don't think that people who are going through a journey such as cancer are going to want to have sex or want to experience pleasure. But actually, there are so many people that would want that and might want that and could access pleasure through some of the suggestions that we can talk about today.
Fantastic, Lisa. Let's talk about those. So let's talk about how we're able to reconnect with this body. As I said, bearing in mind, you've got the physical aspect, you've got the mental, you've got the emotional. Mm. So what's the way forward? How do we anchor in?
So one pathway that we can take is going to sound quite simple, perhaps, but it isn't easy, as I said earlier on. And this is just by accessing sensuality through the five senses, using each of the five senses to reconnect and just bring us back down to earth, if you like. So starting with your sight, surrounding yourself with visuals that make you feel good. Right? What would look good? What would make you feel good to see in your home or in your office or in your car or wherever you happen to be spending time, right? Your personal space, have a look around. What can you do to delight yourself, romance yourself? Like, how can you bring some romance in using your favorite cup or having a gorgeous candle or a plant or your kitten or a photo of somebody you love? Having something visual that just makes you feel good, like colors. That's another really good one. Additionally, with sight, you can do something like mirror work. This can be really difficult, especially if there's some kind of emotional disconnect with your body. But this is essentially looking in the mirror and observing your body, trying to appreciate. We're not saying like go out there and love your body, because that's really difficult for many people, but just noticing it, right? So just if there have been changes, like Skylar mentioned, if there have been changes, can you still appreciate? Can you appreciate that you are more than how you look? But by using your sight, your sense of sight, to check in with what really is in the mirror and just kind of reconnect with that reality that is before you and see that you still are a valuable, worthy human.
Before you carry on with this, because it's all so valuable, I do just want to just refer to this looking in the mirror. Because when someone first looks in that mirror, they may see, let's say they've had a mastectomy and now they're looking body's changed. In Skylar's, you know, story, her face had changed completely. Mm-hmm. Some people have had all different kinds of surgeries. So what do you do when you that thought comes up of, oh my goodness, look at me, I look hideous. Why me? Will I ever be the same? So you're looking in the mirror, but how do you manage all of those kind of self-deprecating thoughts that keep popping up, if they do?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very natural that they do. And I think the first thing to do is allow those thoughts, because that is a natural reaction that is happening. Your mind is going to bring up all of these thoughts because you're scared. There's going to be judgmental voices that are coming through. But realize that that is all like on autopilot. These are just thoughts that are kind of streaming through your mind, but they are not you. And they're not necessarily the truth. The truth may be that there has been a change, but the reality is that you are no less of a person. You are no less beautiful. You bring no less vitality to the world. So it's practicing this mirror work often enough that you can start to hear beyond those initial voices and that initial kind of shock response, though that autopilot of negativity that goes off. And you can almost have compassion for that side of you over time. This does take time. And I do recommend if somebody wants support with this, there's some great therapists that can help. But just understanding that that voice of fear is there to try to protect you, but it doesn't necessarily tell you the truth, because the truth is you are still valuable. And if you think about how you would feel about seeing somebody else in your skin, how would you tell them how they look? How would you describe their, you know, their appearance to them? You know, you would be so much kinder, have more compassion and see the truth behind the appearance rather than that judgmental voice that is coming up. And if you can just shift that compassion onto yourself, it can be very powerful.
Oh, yeah, that's such a good point. Shift the compassion. Be compassionate with the self. I love that. So besides the surrounding yourself with beautiful things, things that make you feel good, beautiful colors, and the mirror work, is there anything else in terms of visual that you would recommend or suggest to our listeners?
I mean, there is really no limit. What would you like to see? You know, when you look around, what would you love to see? What would uplift you and delight you personally? Because we're all different. Is there some clutter? Can you hide it? Is there something you can put a throw over? Like, it's really about romancing yourself, truly. And it's in small ways that maybe feel insignificant, but actually what they're doing is showing you that you believe you're worthy of making that change. You're worthy of putting this beautiful thing here for no other reason than to delight yourself. And that is what a pleasure is that?
Absolutely. I love that. I really, really do. From something tiny to something much bigger, something to really think about. Love it. Absolutely. What's the next sense?
Sound. Let's go for sound. And if you look at if everybody's doing their like Spotify Wrapped at the moment, they can see what they're listening to. But music can have a humongous influence on our emotions and how we feel. So what kind of music are you choosing? And sometimes if you are feeling sad, you're feeling down, then great, go for a sad playlist that is going to help you to get out that emotion. If you're feeling vibey, then put on something that's going to get you moving. So make playlists of things, again, music that delights you. What do you love? Like, I am a 90s R&B girl all the way. That energizes me. It gets me pumped up. It gets me moving my body. But somebody else might have a different choice. And perhaps they prefer like a natural soundscape. Perhaps they prefer whale sounds or bird song, right? So you can choose again. This is up to us. What do we want to hear? Maybe we want silence. And sometimes that can be really healing to put on some great big headphones and block out everything else that is going around us. But realizing that we do have a degree of control over the sense of sound. Like, what do we want to be listening to? And that means if you're in a space where something really loud is happening, you can maybe take yourself away from that. You do get to set your scene in some ways, right? We do have some control over this. So like, what is your favorite sound, Nikki?
I love natural sounds, Lisa. I love listening to nature, birds, I have to say. Mm. It fills me with so much joy. And I do love music as well. And I think you put your finger on it. There are times when you listen to sad music and it brings about a good cry. And I enjoy a good cry. Mm-hmm. And then there are the songs that just make me feel amazing. And I love to, when I feel that way, I like to feel into my body and to feel how the music makes me feel. It's just, very powerful. I love music. I love what you've said. Sound is very powerful. Love it.
Absolutely. I even heard, this is a little anecdote, that when it comes to mind-altering substances, right? For example, you know, people who take psychedelics with a music accompaniment, some research is suggesting that the psychedelic is actually just opening us up more to the transformation that music can have. So it's like saying the music is the thing, but the psychedelic is what allows us to access it. So like, it is really, really powerful, not to be overlooked.
It is. Absolutely. I love that. So surround yourself, go find a beautiful playlist, listen to nature, and sometimes just block out sound if you want quiet. And I love. Right. What's the next sense?
Oh, a sense of smell. We know how much this is connected to memory. So me growing up in England, the smell of sun cream that totally transports me to a holiday. Whereas now I'm living in Durban, sun cream is my everyday. And it just still gives me that little excitement because growing up in the UK, there was certainly no need for sun cream every day, not back in the 90s.
So probably not now anyway as well. I mean, if you don't have sun, you don't have sun.
Absolutely. So we all know that smell can transport us, right, to a different emotional state. And sometimes it comes out of the blue. You just catch a whiff and then all of a sudden a memory comes up. So that just shows the power of smell. So this sounds maybe simple, but you can use things like aromatherapy. So choosing oils that make you feel good. And if you want to go down that road, there are some people believe that there are lots of properties associated with different aromatherapy oils or candles. Incense, you can choose things like lavender to relax you, citrus, or like taking your time. If you are peeling open an orange, like actually sticking your nose in there and giving it a really good sniff, just like getting that zest on your face and just inhaling, like literally smelling the flowers, you know, actually enjoying everything, like the richness that is abundant in the world around us. It could be cooking. It could be the smell of a braai. It could be a freshly baked croissant. Whatever it is, don't overlook this. Like actually, you can get to go and grab those things that make you feel good and sniff them. You can put them up to your nose and give them a really good sniff. You can sniff your dog's paws or your baby's head. Like don't feel embarrassed about flirting with the smells around us because they can be fabulous.
Oh, they can. Absolutely. For sure. And taste?
Taste. I mean, this is almost too easy. I mean, we were given this amazing tongue where we could just try any kind of flavor or, you know, even if we're talking about sex, there are all sorts of different things. Kissing can bring a different taste. There are some wonderful experiences that we can have through going mindful with our eating and with our tasting. And all I mean by that is slowing down, actually tasting what we're eating instead of just swallowing it while we're watching TV. So just focusing on the pleasure of every single bite, that can be just transformational.
Love it. And touch. Last one. Touch, touch.
Last one. So this one, and particularly for those breast cancer survivors, this can be really helpful to try with self-massage. So getting like a luxurious body oil or lotion and just allowing yourself to rub that into your skin, the self-touch, self-massage with something that feels good, or textures, different fabrics on your skin, different blankets that you want to wrap yourself up in, those kinds of things. So, you know, feeling the grass, like taking your time. It is literally all of these are really about slowing down and actually tuning in to what is available. Our bodies were gifted with these wonderful senses to learn about the world, to experience the world. And that's actually what I believe we're here for. That's one of the main reasons we're here, to really experience everything that there is. And whether we have 2, 3, 4, or 5 senses available to us, because some of us don't have every single sense available, we still get to plug into those senses that we do have. And it can bring so much joy and connection. And it's something that we really do overlook.
So Lisa, I mean, what I'm hearing you say is that you're wanting to reconnect with your body. You're doing this through the senses. You're getting pleasure in a not sexual way in the beginning. Just really reigniting the pleasure of being in the body, the smell, the sound, the taste, the touch, what you see. And unfortunately, we've only got like a minute left. But from that point on, are you saying, Lisa, once you reignite that, you awaken that, is that the first step in becoming more sexually active after this long journey of treatment and challenge?
Absolutely, because each of these senses can go from what I've described today all the way to the erotic side of the scale. And it is about delighting ourselves in small, loving, romantic ways all the way through to more erotic ways. There's no pressure to actually go straight into sex for anybody. regardless of their situation. But yes, by tapping into the senses, sensuality is one pathway that will allow us to reconnect, to reignite that spark, and maybe also make us feel like we want to turn into, you know, the more erotic side of things.
Absolutely. Listen, I think this is an important topic, and I'd love you to come back onto the show just in terms of if you're in a relationship and how do you bridge the gap when you are, you know, going through treatment, you're not feeling great. How do you explain it to your partner? How does your partner relate to you? I think these are important things to discuss. But for now, I think you've left us with so many valuable tools, certainly over the December break, just really encouraging our listeners to feel into the body, to awaken those wonderful, wonderful senses. So Lisa, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Nikki.
Great having you on the show. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. So that was Lisa Welsh on the DL Link show, who is an accredited sex educator and who serves as a communications lead for My Sexual Health and the World Association for Sexual Health. Isn't that a lovely thing to do over December? Commit to awakening your five senses, reawakening that sense of sensuality within. I love that. Listen, it's been a fabulous show. I have loved everything that we've spoken about, and I hope you have too. So for me, Nikki Seberini, until next week, you take care of you. Goodbye.